Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. To follow Jesus is to fundamentally change your life. And to change your life, Jesus must come first. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters a wealthy young man who desperately wants eternal life. And Jesus reminds the wealthy man he needs to keep all those basic laws, the rules that follow after the fundamental underpinning, love your neighbor. No murder, no adultery, no theft, no lying, no defrauding, no disrespecting your mom and dad. And then the one further rule the rich man cannot handle. Sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor and then follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but this one is particularly painful. What is it we're supposed to live on? How are we to send our kids to college? How can we possibly retire? How can we possibly have eternal life if we have any possessions? And all those standing around recognized, as every single one of us must recognize, there's not one of them who could say that they sold all their possessions and gave them to the poor. And suddenly, the rosy picture painted by all the love your neighbor stuff was dulled and even obliterated. Jesus wants all of us to live like paupers. But applying this scripture to our lives today requires a level of sensitivity and honesty with regards to our own instincts and values. We cannot imagine that Christ is really asking us to give away all our money and possessions. Isn't our work worthwhile? Don't our earnings allow us to assist the poor? And yes, wealth is often a result of work, either our work or someone else's work. But Jesus is reminding us that money, and perhaps more importantly, work itself, can also be an emotional obstacle to following Jesus. If we have privileged positions, as the rich man did, managing our careers may become more important than serving others, or doing good work, or even making time for family, civic, and spiritual life. It may hinder us from opening ourselves to an unexpected calling from God. Our wealth and privilege may make us arrogant or insensitive to the people around us. And these difficulties are not unique to people of wealth and privilege. Of course not. Jesus' encounter with the rich man highlights that it's hard to motivate yourself to change the world if you're already on top of the heap. Before those of us of modest means and status in the Western world let ourselves off the hook, let us ask ourselves whether, by world standards, we have also become complacent because of our relative wealth and status. Remember, we here in America are among the wealthiest nations in the world, and there are people in this world of ours who live on what many of us will spend at the restaurant after church today, or for the amazing new pair of cowboy boots that I like to buy. And it's incredibly easy to justify our love of wealth. What once was a luxury only the few could afford has now become a necessity that everybody has to have. Think about it for a moment. What is the normal TV size today? Think about it. They say that the average and normal is about 42 inches was back in the day, but today they range from 52 to 70 inches, We live in a society where the accumulation of wealth is not only encouraged, it's necessary if you want to avoid being destitute in retirement. So how can we possibly hear Jesus' challenge to choose either faith or wealth? And I'm not sure many of us ever do. We get incredibly attached to our stuff. We are particularly proud of our possessions, and it's next to impossible to let our favorite things go. And in all of this, we can be positively blind to what our wealth does to us, what it does to the way we treat those we view as beneath us. So how do we avoid making the mistake the man in our gospel lesson made? First and foremost, we must recognize that doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God means caring about poverty and suffering that it spawns in our world. And throughout scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation, the heart and soul of what God wants from us is to practice mercy, compassion, and generosity to others. And we must recognize that the prophet's call we heard in Amos to establish justice in the gate means that we work to eradicate poverty in our world, not as a token pretense, but really, truly working to eradicate poverty. And we must recognize our own attachment to the wealth each one of us cherishes. They say that admitting the problem is the first step to recovery. When we can admit our attachment to our wealth and our stuff, then we can remember that the saints and heroes of our faith have consistently taught us the only way to free ourselves from our wealth is to give away as much of it as we possibly can. We lose sight of what matters when we're constantly striving for more. For you see, we're never going to have enough. We'll never be rich enough, or skinny enough, or fit enough, or smart enough. But rather, if we enter into utter despair and pain as our young rich man, Jesus needs to be watched carefully for what he does next. Sirens always make me lift a prayer. And we'll let it pass. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. For you see, Jesus' purpose is not to shame or browbeat the young man, but to love him. He calls him to leave his possessions first of all for his own benefit, saying, "You will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." We're the ones who suffer when we let wealth or work or any distraction cut us off from other people and remove us from relationship with God. The solution is not to try harder to be richer, skinnier, fitter, smarter, but rather to accept God's love. That is to follow Christ. And if we do this, we learn that we can trust God for the things we really need in life, and we don't need to hold on to our possessions and positions for security. When was the last time you took a leap of faith? You jumped out there without a safety net and did something just a little risky. And no, I'm not asking you to be like Daddy George Bush, who leaps out of airplanes in his 80s, skydiving. Pretty brave if you ask me. No, when have you moved to a place of discomfort to serve the poor? By driving into a little dicey neighborhood to, like our Meals and Wheels folks do weekly, or drive a big high school kid home to his very old trailer on the southwest side of Hempstead, or bless not one, but two, three huge strapping giant schnauzers on the town square feeling fear for your life as you reach down to touch their slobbering heads. Following Jesus is scary, and we've never been told it was going to be easy. But Jesus is calling this man and each one of us into relationship with others, the poor in particular, not simply to be of help, but to be in relationship. Jesus is telling this young man that his life in the kingdom of God is intricately bound up with others, especially the last and the least. Such is a mark of abundant and eternal life. Jesus' words then and now are spoken to liberate us from our self-centered ways and to invite us into God's way of living and serving in this world. Jesus called this man and now calls each one of us to follow him and to experience the abundant life of discipleship marked by a life lived for others. Such a life is but a foretaste of our eternal life, a life lived in communion with God and with one another, a life in which we are grateful for what we have and share lovingly with others, a foretaste of that heavenly banquet to come. And what is more, Jesus promises that this investment of our very lives will indeed be rewarding. Jesus describes to his disciples the promise of a new family and fields and homes and friends 100-fold in this age, right now. This is the vision of God's reign. God doesn't intend that we live impoverished, solitary, empty lives. Rather, God desires for us to discover a new family, the family of God, a rich life in community with others who have learned the joy of spending themselves on others, the joy of service to community, the joy of giving of ourselves and, yes, some of our worldly possessions. Never forget that Jesus is looking at each one of you, and every day he is loving each one of you. Amen.